Welcome and thank you for tuning into Crossroads Church Aspen and our teaching ministry. We are thrilled that you desire to learn more about God and His Word. We also want to encourage you not to make this a substitute for belonging to a local church in your area. We are made for community and to be relationally connected to each other in the body of Christ. Remember, isolation kills, but community builds. We hope this message blesses you and draws you deeper into the community of Christ Church.
All right, who was here last week? Please raise your hand. And you came back. Good for you. Good for you. Praise the Lord. It's such an honor to preach God's word anytime. Sometimes it's a struggle, not because it's not a wonderful thing to do. It's just like, you know, when you've preached a few hundred sermons, you wonder like, what else can you say? You know, like if someone's like, do you love me? You're like, I love you. And they're like, but do you love me? You're like, no, I like for real love you. Eventually you're going to run out of words. And just like, you have to believe me. I don't know, there's nothing else to say. Do you ever think about that when it comes to like sermons? Like, we've preached it all. Like, can we do it now? Hear what I'm saying? But today I really hope, I'm going to ask for a couple things from you. I'm going to ask for grace so that we can step beyond where we are now. I'm going to ask that you allow yourself to be uncomfortable. I know it sounds crazy that the Lord would dare make us uncomfortable at church. But the truth of the matter is, if we can't be uncomfortable here and we can't be vulnerable here, I mean, us talking about going out into the world and making a difference and having an impact, I mean, it's a joke, right? When we talk about, you know, do Christians share their faith? And the answer is no, for the most part. Do you know why? Because we don't even share our faith here in a safe place. And that's what I want to talk about today. Less talk, more do. So can we do that this morning? Okay. Now I want to ask you a question. And this is not casting shade on the worship team or anything like that. Before you get ready and like, oh my gosh, he's tearing down the worship team. No. Almost every church in America does worship in this style where we sit, a team leads, including Sandbox. So don't let the devil get in there. Number one, I'm going to come off the stage. Online viewers, I love you, but I'm going this way. So let me ask you an honest question. And please, this is not about pulling anybody down. We want to grow to be more like Christ, and we want to experience the kingdom more. Yes or no? We come to church because we want to be more like Christ and we want to move our lives from our kingdom to His kingdom. True or false? True. Okay. When we talk about worshiping God, okay, if you handed somebody the Bible, they had never been to church. They had never seen the way worship is set up or anything like that. And we said, okay, we're going to gather a group of people and we are going to worship the Lord. Who thinks, if they had never seen any of this, that this is how they would set it up? And the answer can be yes. I'm not trying to make a statement. I just want to ask a question. Why? Because we're talking about discipleship. You hear what I'm saying? Discipleship is our interaction. Look at Jesus making disciples. It was an interaction. It wasn't a lecture. So can we interact today? I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, he's doing it again. 2 weeks in a row. He's freaking me out. It's about interaction. Okay, before we go there, and then we're going to carry on with that question, I want to show you, there was a video made, it's BBC video, of discipleship in action. Are you ready for this? It's incredible that they were able to capture this on camera, to actually watch somebody discipling somebody else. And I thought I would play it for you today. Go ahead and play it there for us.
Down the hill.
Ow, my fingers on him, right?
Oh, sorry. Mm. You won't be able to go down the hill on the bike if your fingers on him, right? Where are we going? Where are we going?
Down the hill.
Where?
Down the hill.
Where?
Down the hill.
Where? Feet on the pedals, hands on the handlebars, and just look straight ahead. And tomorrow you'll be riding a two-wheeler. You ready? Here we go. Okay, doesn't matter. Never mind. It's okay. Okay, we're pedaling. Just look straight ahead. Relax, you're gonna be fine. You're riding a bike, here we go. Okay, that is with you. Just keep your feet on the pedals, keep looking straight ahead, straight ahead. Keep looking, that's good. Okay. Okay.
You lift it. Okay. There we go. Ready?
I reckon that'll do it.
Okay. Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm. Does that feel safe?
Yeah.
Way.
That's it, that's it. That's good. Keep going. Good boy. Well done. Well, oh, okay. Never mind. All right, what you've done there, you've gone on fire. That's what we'll do. We'll try again, and this time, try not to go on fire. I think that would be the best. But it was good, though. It was the best you've done so far, I'd say. Pretty good.
Who knows why I played that video and how it relates to discipleship? Instead of me telling you, tell me what that resonated with you in everything that we know about discipleship. Tell me how that connects. Go ahead. And don't be scared that you might get the answer wrong, because that's exactly what that video is about. Yes, sir. Discipleship never ends. Okay? There's one level to another level. What else? Who else? Yes. Discipleship is pretty ugly. Have you read the Bible? Jesus is pouring out his life and love into these men to teach them about the kingdom of God. And opposition comes from a town where they don't receive Jesus. And you know what these disciples that he's creating to be like him? Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life and will not perish. Jesus is imparting himself into the disciples. They run into obstacle. And you know what the disciples say? Lord, should we call fire down from heaven and kill them? Are you with me? That would have been a moment where Jesus would have just covered his eyes and gone, oh my word. Discipleship is not pretty. There's lots of mistakes. There's lots of failings. There's lots of fallings. It's not a thing about perfection. It's amazing. Anybody who's ever learned to ski, did your ski instructor say to you, now listen, don't you fall. You hear me? We're going to go down this double black and you better do it well and perfect and we are watching you. No, they start you on that you're not even sure if it is a slope and someone's pushing you from behind. Right? But then when it comes to training up people in the church, real disciples, we put unrealistic expectations on one another to be perfect in growing in our giftings, and it's impossible to do. Let's talk about prophecy. Is it supposed to be that somebody gets up? We're not talking about the prophets of old, right? That are writing the canon. We're talking about the gift of prophecy today. Is somebody allowed to get it wrong? True or false? Yes. In fact, we encourage it. Why? Because anybody who's getting up to start using the gift is going to get it wrong. Who remembers my first sermon? You are so gracious to me. Every time I preach afterwards, I'm like, wow, nobody said anything about that. Sometimes I just slip things in there just to see if someone will say something. But what I'm saying is we are gracious in every other area of life, in learning to drive, all of these things. But when it comes to growing in the gifts, when it comes to growing in our maturity, whatever it might be, we're so scared to step out in case we get it wrong. And that's wrong. You are going to get it wrong. Take the pressure off and try. Last week, I asked if anybody had a song that they'd like to sing. And it was incredible. Jenny Lyons got up and sang Amazing Grace. In the second service, unknowing, Billy Garuffa got up and sang the same song. Isn't that amazing? I saw Becca's face as he started to sing, and she got all excited because he had no idea what had happened in the first service. There was somebody else who told me afterwards that they had a song, but they were scared to sing it because they didn't know all the words. You hear what I'm saying? It would have been fine. Why? Because they would have missed a few words and wouldn't have made any difference. We would have filled in. We would have covered, we would have helped. There are many people here with giftings, and you're not growing in your discipleship because you're scared that when you get released on the bike, you're going to fall over. And I want to give you a prophetic word. You are going to. You're going to fall. And after you've ridden the bike 10 times, you're going to fall. Who here is an expert skier? Please raise your hand. Now, come on. Somebody. Do you still fall sometimes? Yes. There you go. That guy's a double black diamond skier, and he wipes out. Why? Because we're always pushing the envelope to go further from glory to glory. Who's with me? Anyone here arrived at your spiritual wholeness? You're like, I'm done. Like, I don't even know why I'm here. I should be preaching. No, we keep growing. I keep growing. There's always more for us to gain and learn. Anyone here encouraged that Paul and Peter had a fight and scripture records it? How would you like that? You have an argument and it gets recorded for all time. They're still growing. Paul and Barnabas. See, that Paul was a feisty character. He's fighting with everyone. What I'm saying is there's always more growing to do, but discipleship is not just about learning. Listen what Jesus said. He called them out and said, come follow me and I will what? Show you how to fish for people. You can read about how to ride a bike until you're blue in the face. And it may help you a small percentage. What really helps to learn how to ride a bike? To get on a bike. That's it. When I went skydiving many, many years ago, it was static line skydiving. Has anybody ever done that? So I didn't have to have a sweaty man strapped to my back, which is very uncomfortable. When you jump out of the plane, it just pulls your parachute for you. So it's a static line. Anyway, we were on the ground for about 4 hours learning all the things that we needed to do, the practicals. And then we had to do a written test. And I'm like, this is really boring. But when I jumped out of that plane and my parachute didn't open, it was all tangled up. True story. I remembered everything that I was taught, and suddenly that stuff had a lot of meaning. And they had said, if you jump out and your parachute is tangled, they had told me, all you do is you pull on the lines and you start to kick your feet and you will spin and you will unravel it and it will open up. Suddenly, that information that really didn't mean a whole lot to me became valuable, vital information. And afterwards, when I landed and I also flared too early, hit the ground a little bit hard, I went to the instructor who had taught me about pulling that and kicking and saying, you saved my life today. And church is actually pretty boring. What? Who's tired of listening to sermons? Brent, you can't say that. I can because I'm the preacher. If I'm tired of preaching sermons, surely you're tired of listening to sermons? You know what makes sermons vital is when you're in the battle. It's when you're doing it, and then another word comes, and you're like, oh, man, I had that this week. I experienced that this week. I'm fighting that right now. Rather than just preloading, preloading, preloading. If I had stayed on the ground listening to all the theory about jumping out of a plane, I would have lost my mind. But I got to do it. And then I got a little bit more brave, and I jumped off the wing. That was pretty awesome, right? And then I never did it again. But and I will show you how to fish for people. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, as we read last week, you are truly my disciples if what? If you are faithful to my teachings. It's not rocket science. Okay, discipleship is about seeing and doing, not listening and rating. Okay, who here has ever rated a sermon? Come on. It's all of you. That wasn't as good as Steve. Yes. But did you hear what was said? Well, I like Steve more. Me too. But did you hear what was said? We have come in that we all think we Yelp reviewers when it comes to church. You're not. You're being made disciples. You have no business rating in your mind. Well, I'll give that service a 3 out of 5. Nobody greeted me at the door, and there was no gluten-free options, which there are. So don't panic. Don't panic. But we have become critics of church instead of disciples of Jesus, wondering how can I become more like Christ today. Okay, back to worship. If we got a Bible and knew nothing else of culture, we had never been in a church, would we set worship up the way that it is set up? Who thinks so? And I'm not trying to make a point. I just want to hear what you think. Who wants to have a go? Either side of the case. I'm just saying, let's interact with one another. Yes, sir. Okay, tell me how, if you don't mind. Okay. It would be very interactive. We wouldn't know that only one person is allowed to choose songs. You hear what I'm saying? We would think, hey, maybe I should bring a song, or maybe we should make a song together. Why don't we do that right now? Who here has always wanted to go to inspire a song, but you weren't invited because you're not a musician? You're not allowed. That's just a joke. Calm down. So let's make a worship song right now as the body of Christ. And I'm not a musician, but let's do this together. Okay. Who's got our first line? No, you mean we're actually going to make something up to worship the Lord? Who here would appreciate if your children wrote you something from their heart rather than bought a pre-made Hallmark card? Listen, I love to get a card. But you know what's better? Something that is written from somebody's heart. We got a card the other day that said, not every day is there somebody who comes to the planet and makes such a difference in the world. And I was like, man, that's so kind. And then opened it up and said, it's Jesus, not you. Okay, can we do it? Can we stretch and actually do discipleship instead of just learning about opening our parachute? Can we jump out a little bit here today? Let's make a song and worship the Lord together. And Becca's going to sing it. Okay. What's our first line?
Jesus, I come to thee on a bended knee.
Jesus, I come to thee on a bended knee. That's really good. So please, please help me. In fact, we're going to sell this and I'm going to share the royalties with you afterwards. Okay, let's sing it together. 1, 2, 3. Jesus, I come to thee on a bended knee. Jesus, Jesus, please help me. Is that right? Okay. Where's Derek or someone who can play the guitar? Anybody here? Does anyone here play the guitar? Okay, no one. Okay, here we go. I don't play the guitar, and he's probably going to beat me for touching his guitar. Okay, will you come hold my mic? Are you ready for this? If you didn't know any better that you weren't allowed to do this. Okay, I think this is a G. Oh, it sounds so good. Okay, let's sing it again. Two chords, off to a third. Ooh. You hear what I'm saying? I know somebody's come for the first time and you're like, I'm never coming back to this church, and please don't judge Crossroads for what's going on here. Just blame me. Next week, the real professional will be back. I'm just the circus act in between. But all I'm trying to say is most of us, and if this is your first time in a church, I do apologize. But for the rest of you, I apologize for nothing. We have heard so many sermons. You know the drill. You know how it goes. We do this and then we hear the message and all of that. But it's not what we are called to do. And I'm not putting down anything. Hear what I'm saying. There's something so much better. And it's the body coming together. And I will show you from scriptures that you already know. This is what it means to be disciples. Jesus, Jesus, I come to thee on a bended knee. Jesus, Jesus, please help me. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, who would dare add to that beautiful song that we are writing? Come on. Okay, yes. Jesus, you are so good to me. Okay, yes, sir. Thank you for all I see. Thank you for making me. Can we type that up? Can you type that up on a slide? Come on. Who's excited about that? We just created a song.
like from our heart, we actually just did scripture together. Instead of learning about scripture that we might one day implement, we actually just went ahead and did it. I'm excited. I know in your heart you are excited. You just don't want to give me the satisfaction of showing it on your face. Okay, you ready to sing again? Okay, Bex, come. What? Come on. You ready for this?
What am I doing?
Just sing it in the chord of E.
What? That one?
I don't even know what that means, but I heard somebody say it once.
What am I saying?
That song. That song.
I don't remember. Did you type it?
Here we go. Jesus, Jesus, I come to thee.
No, it was on bended knee.
On bended knee.
Right?
Jesus, Jesus, I come to thee on bended knee.
I think John needs to sing this.
Come on, John.
It's your song, boy.
Becca's going to help you, though. Come on, what else we got?
No, you go ahead.
You didn't know I was looking right over, but I love that that was like calling you out, too, John right. And John.
Okay, you ready? And we're all going to do it.
You have the good voice. I'm going to be.
As we get there, all right. 1, 2, 3, all together. Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, I come to thee on bended knee. Jesus, Jesus, please help me.
Okay. What's the line?
You're good to me, you're, right, Holly?
Jesus, you are so good to me.
Thank you for making me.
For all I see. Thank you for making me.
Thank you for all I see. And thank you for making me.
Thank you, Jesus, for making me.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, was that uncomfortable?
Yes.
Yes. But something was ignited that was different about what goes on normally. Because it required something of me. If discipleship does not require something of you, it's not discipleship. You are just listening to a lecture. Discipleship will actually cost you your life. And Jesus is very clear about this. If you want to follow me, you have to forsake everything else. That doesn't mean we have to go live in a van. But it means that we are placing becoming like Jesus above everything else when it comes to value. Amen? All right, this is the model church, Acts 2:42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? There is a place for teaching and to fellowship. What has become the number one thing in our church today? Like this is the golden goose. What is it? It's this part right here, the teaching. But reading that scripture, you wouldn't know it, right? Would you know that teaching is the golden goose by reading that scripture? No. It would just be one of the many things that we do together. And to sharing in meals. Sharing in meals is put on the same place as being devoted to teaching. Come on. The only reason we read that skewed is because of what we've seen, not because of what's in scripture. Including the Lord's Supper and to pray. How many of you would know that prayer is even important by watching the going on of the church? Hear what I'm saying? A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. That is not the first world way to share everything you had. In fact, you see more generosity among the poor than you do among the rich. Do you know that? When you go to poor countries, you are overwhelmed at their generosity. I mean, when we've traveled around and gone to places, they will show up with a Fanta, a 2-liter Fanta or a Coke. And that's like somebody coming here and us like selling our grand piano to be able to give them something. It's everything that they have. Okay? They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money in with those in need. And someone is like, that's communism. We cared so much about one another that we made sure that everybody was taken care of. Now, of course, there's always the outlying charlatans and scammers. And that's why scripture says the elders need to watch for the wolves. But the body is supposed to be working together in this way.
in reading this about the model church, you would never say that 80% of the time or 90% of the time, the body is spent listening to sermons. But that's where we find ourselves. Just listen to teaching after teaching after teaching. It would be better to have a 15-minute sermon today and for us to go and make a meal in our houses for one another, talking about God and the goodness of God. You with me? I do want to preach short today because I do want us to actually implement what it is. Ever since the fast, I've been messed up. Not my body, because clearly I was able to find that weight again very quickly. But I've been messed up in everything that I'd ever thought and known. I thought I would come off that fast and everything would be glowing. And, oh, I'd love the church and everything that we're doing. And it was the opposite. I loved the people, but I looked at everything that we're doing and I was like, I can't really find this in Scripture. Is this really what Jesus died for? Is this really what we're supposed to be doing? Scripture is so clear, and I ask you to go get some unbelievers and sit down with them and have them read these scriptures and ask them to tell you what they think it means. And I'm not talking about asking unbelievers to interpret scripture. I'm telling you, we are so preconditioned to how something needs to look because of culture that we don't even actually read what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And then we wonder why we don't see the same results that they saw. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals. You know what's mentioned twice here? Sharing meals. There's something very special about eating together. Right? I have put this into practice, obviously. But there's something so special. We encourage our church not to buy meals. And there's nothing wrong with buying meals and Uber Eats and all of those things, but to make it together and make it an occasion of worship and celebration to the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you that we can have lettuce today. And, you know, as you're unwrapping the lettuce, tell me about what God's doing in your life. And, man, can I pray for you right now? Okay, guys, let's stop cutting mushrooms and let's pray for Joe right now. Lord, thank you that you encourage him. You see what I'm saying? And suddenly somebody's walking away with more than what they got out of a church service in 5 years because we're actually living what it is we're supposed to be doing. And all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship and those who were being saved. The Lord was growing the number. Why? Because people wanted to be part of that. Amen? Okay. Carrying on with the model church. Now, these are the gifts God gave to the church. Say with me, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. Come on. Who agrees with that verse? Okay, but here's the problem. We see churches that just have pastors and teachers. So then if we need all five of those offices in place, you will never have a mature body that is able to do the work of God. That's why it remains with the teacher to have to do everything and the body remains in its infancy stage because we are missing the pillars that are meant to be in place to train up the body because we need the prophets. We need the evangelists. We need the apostles. You have to have that crazy person in your church. It's like, we've got to go take the world. And everyone else is like, calm down. It's Tuesday. You hear what I'm saying? You have to have the prophet who's speaking, who's bringing the things, and people aren't so quick to shut it down. The more we shut down the things that Scripture says, we can never expect to see the results that Scripture promises. We will never carry on. We will never be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. There you go. Why aren't we seeing God in our church like we should? Well, there's the answer. And I'm not just saying Crossroads. I'm saying across the board. Okay. Carrying on. The model church. Well, my brothers and sisters, let me summarize. This is 1 Corinthians 14, okay? When you meet together, one will sing, one will teach, one will tell some special revelation that God has given, one will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what he said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Okay, what do you get from that passage? If you knew nothing about church, and I'm like, okay, here's what Scripture says about church and how it needs to be. What do you get out of that? What we just read? Come on, don't be scared. Esther. It's a team. It's a team sport. Right? Yes.
Just that everyone's involved.
Everybody's involved. Instead of 5% and everybody else is spectating, right? Eating popcorn and rating. Yes. You leave strengthened. You leave better than when you came. But everybody, it has an expectation to bring something. How many of you, honestly, when you came to church today, you were praying, saying, God, what do you have for me to bring? Right? Thank you. One. Two. It's like, no, me too. Three. It should be all of us. But the thing is, we have been conditioned that we are just coming to play our role of learning rather than I am actually part of the mix. I know tongues has been like, it's the thing that everybody wants to ignore. But I have to ask you this question. If Paul went through the effort of saying we need to have this, what are we missing out on when we don't? Has people abused it? Yes. You know what else they've abused? Money. But we never stop talking about tithing. So what I'm saying is, I have to have a healthy fear that when I read scripture and I see obvious things that are missing from my life in church, that I must say, hang on, we might be missing God in a big way here. And I'm not talking about now we're going to get crazy and weird. This whole passage is about keeping things in a healthy order. But it's calling the church to be the body of Christ, that we are all playing our part. But no one is present. Okay, then it goes on. If no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent and speak to God in tongues privately. Let two or three people prophesy and let others evaluate what is said. What is Paul doing right there? He's giving room to be wrong with prophecy. He's saying, hey, test what he said. They might be wrong. But it's saying two or three people need to prophesy. When last was a prophecy given? But that's what I'm saying is we need to look at scripture and say, hang on a second. We've shut down. We've resisted. We've whatever it might be. But this is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Here it is. We are missing key elements and aspects because of fear, because of conditioning, because of prejudices, whatever it might be. In this way, all who are prophesying will have a turn to speak one after the other so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. And then it jumps to 30. I'm jumping to 39. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Come on. How do we read scriptures like that and just go, oh, no, prophecy, it's too much work? We should be like, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm just cutting out things from scripture because somebody fell off the bicycle while doing it. And then we're like, oh, no, nobody's allowed to ride bikes now. Get rid of the bikes. Yes. I know you want to react more than that, but you're like, this is church. Would you know that unless somebody had told you? You with me? Keep the bikes. But be sure that everything is done and proper and in orders. It's not a free-for-all, but it is a body coming together to mutually encourage one another. What time do I have to finish? Now? 5 minutes? Okay. Okay, this is a very important quote. Do we really want to follow Jesus, or do we just want to sit and learn about the deep mysteries of the faith that no one gives a flying squirrel about? Not sure who said that. But I thought it was important to put. What I'm saying is I could sit and learn about, parachutes and all the mechanics and the fibers and the angles. And I mean, I could never end up jumping out of the plane, but I know everything about wind resistance and all of these things. And yes, it's valuable information, but if it doesn't lead us to jumping out, what's the point? And that's what I'm saying. Yes, we must study to show ourselves approved and we must mine the scriptures. But if I'm mining to be a Pharisee instead of a follower, what is the point? Right? If you do want to write that down, I think it's a very, very good quote that. But let's actually do something. Okay, we got a few minutes to put this into practice today that you know you actually followed Christ. You didn't just listen about it. Okay? So encourage each other and build up one another just as you are already doing. Here's Here's being a disciple of Christ, putting this into practice. Okay, who here would like to encourage this body? Whatever it is. Who here would actually like to do it? Because here we have a command from Scripture. Come on. I'll make you walk all the way from the back. Come encourage our body. Now, I don't know what he's going to say. He might blow up into flames like that boy in the bark. I don't know. But we're going to deal with it, right? Because this is what it means becoming disciples. Okay.
He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Amen. Come on. There is risk involved. Brent, what happens if somebody gets up and cusses? We've had that. We had a lady that had been rescued from sex trafficking. And she got up at our church and she was like, God, thank you for effing rescuing me. And Satan, I effing hate you. And I was like, amen. Not because I promote foul language, right? Scripture says don't use foul language. But she doesn't know. She's becoming a disciple. Not like, oh no, she's used the F word. You know what's better is she's coming to know Christ and the F word will go eventually. We are so scared. Oh, when you use the F word at home, you hypocrites. Okay. Greet. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. The singles love this one. This appears 3 times in different letters. It's really important, something that we don't do. The way we implement this at Sandbox is we hug everyone. And people often say to me, come to church, like, for the first time, like, I'm not really a hugger. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay, you need to change. And he's watching the sports game during the sermon. Greet each other with a holy kiss. So we hug one another. Why? Because this is an expression of love towards one another. Some cultures kiss each other on the cheek. You know, we're not there yet. We're building up to that. But what I'm saying is, when you read a scripture like this, do you implement it or do you just skate on by? Okay, who would like to implement this scripture and like, I actually follow God's word today? Go ahead. Who wants to do it? What? You mean follow the word of God in church? This guy's too much. How do we do this for one another right here, right now? Come on, Derek's he's staring me down. I've got to move on. Derek, you can cover. Thank you, my brother. Who would like to implement this? There you go. That wasn't so hard, but a kiss. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives you, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Is that talking to the preacher? Or is that talking to all of the Corinthians? To teach one another with all the richness about Christ in our hearts, counseling one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sang one today. Thank you for starting us off with thankful hearts. Galatians 5:13, you have been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Okay, who here is going to do this today? And tell me how. Who here is going to serve somebody in this body in love? How are we going to do it? Do you need some ideas? Okay. Who here hasn't been on a date in a while? You've got young kids. You haven't been on a date. Would you stand up? Do you have a date?
No.
Okay. Great. Who here, what's your name?
Amy.
Who here would like to take Amy out and spoil her and don't ask her to pay? No, I'm serious. Who here in our body would do it? It can be a friend. Can be a guy. Okay, Elaine and Kimberly.
Double date.
They are going to take you out for a night on the town that you will never forget. Okay, before 8:30. Starts at 5. But what I'm saying is, isn't this so much more exciting to read scripture and think, okay, how am I going to live this out? This is what it's about. Thank you. This is really going to happen. And next week, please give a testimony about whatever you got to expensive shops. Amen, Wardy, just fill your basket. Instead, You must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if anybody asks about the hope as a believer, you must always be ready to explain. We did this last week. Who here can explain about the hope in them? Like, this is why I'm hopeful about life. This is who Jesus is. This is why I have hope within me. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay. We're going to carry on now, and thank you for being gracious with me. But guys, we need to implement this now. Okay, let me ask you this. Who has some sin in their life? Please raise your hand. Oh, this is such a holy church. Many of us are carrying things, and sin doesn't mean like, oh, I was watching something on the internet that I wasn't supposed to. Sin is any deviation from what God has called us to be. And we lift up one another, but we're so scared that someone's going to pull us down instead of that we are for each other, not against each other. So, elders and ministry team, right? If you would come down to the front, and other people in our body today who want to pray for people, would you come down now? I've never prayed for anybody. It's discipleship. Get on the back. What will I say? Start off with, dear Lord. Start off with, Jesus, help me. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is we have to grow in this. Okay, who's never prayed for anybody? Okay, over here. Who here has never prayed for anybody? And I know you're like, I'm not going to raise my hand because you're going to call on me. I absolutely am. Who here has never prayed with somebody to be healed, to be whole, anything? And you're like, I know I need to do this today. Today's the day I grow. Who wants to be part of this? I failed in this message, like 100%. Okay, who here would at least get some prayer? You know you need to pray because you are James 5:16. There's things in your life that need to change. You want to be better. You want to follow God. Anybody? Be prayed over. Okay, come on. If you want to be prayed over, come. Where's the rest of our team? We've got 2, 3. We need more people to pray for people. So come on, you guys. With those beautiful faces of yours, who wouldn't want to come to you for prayer? Okay? Who wants to be prayed over? Brent, you can't put us under pressure in church. Of course I can. I have the microphone. I can do whatever I want. Who wants to be prayed over by a couple who have exemplified marriage and staying together and loving one another and know the Lord deeply? Who wants them to be prayed over by them? Okay, go for it. Go, Brian. You see what I'm saying? It's too easy to slip into church and hear a message and it not do anything to our life. Who else wants prayer? Who else? You know you need prayer. Come on. Who else wants to be used by God today to pray over somebody? Okay, come on. Please, come on. Come stand here. Do you understand what I'm doing? This is closer to Scripture than anything else that we are doing. If you consider yourself a follower of Christ, then surely you want to be used by God. The biggest thing is that we think we can't be used by God. Who else needs to step out to say, I want to be used by God today? Okay, come on. Come sit here. Okay, now I need your help. Somebody can't be used by God without somebody else willing to be like, I'll be the guinea pig. I need some guinea pigs. Christian guinea pigs who will come to these guys here who want to be used by God today and say, I'll let you pray over me. Thank you. Come on. Who else? Please, come on. Okay, here we go. If you've come down to pray over people, lift your hands so we can get people with you. Okay, we got one more. There you go. There you go. Brent, what happens if they pray the wrong thing? There's a good chance it will happen. But God is bigger than that. You hear what I'm saying? This is more. Because next time, they'll realize they can be used by God. I really hope that you see my heart in what we're trying to do here today. Okay? All right, the rest of you, if you would bow your heads. Yes, sir.
So here we are in church and we're talking about sin, and I heard something, and it was just a prophetic word for me that in another language, in Spanish, sin means without, right? So to sin means without God, without the Holy Spirit, and without Jesus in my life. Am I making decisions in my life without those things, right? It's not about, like you said, watching something or, you know, actual something really bad or murder, right? And I think in culture, it's we've taken that word and we've put it on a shelf as Christians and said, oh, that's not me. So it just really touched my heart.
That's good.
Is there anyone here that feels like you are without something? Something's missing in your life and you have the courage to get up and say, I want somebody to pray over me. This is who we are as believers. We're not spectators at a violin recital. Shh, everyone quiet, they're playing now. No, make a noise. Ask questions. Raise your hands. Get engaged in the family and the body of Christ. Pastor, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.